Right now, we are going to the phones where we are joined by Dr. Angelo McLean. He is the CEO of the National Association of Social Workers, here to talk with us about how they are responding to the COVID-19 and the pandemic that we're facing. And we may also touch on some opioid issues as well. Originally, it was why we were going to have him on, but obviously things have changed. So, Dr. McLean, welcome. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you, Tommy. My pleasure to join you.
And of course, obviously, a lot of us, most of the country, I think, working at least large swaths of the country under stay-at-home orders and having to work from home and not just work from home, but under stay-at-home orders. And this can be a real challenge, especially for folks if you already have struggled with mental illness or mental health issues. This isolation, I would imagine, would be particularly difficult for those folks.
Yes, it is. You know, issues like opioid addiction, mental health conditions, you know, child maltreatment, domestic violence, they never take a holiday. And in fact, when there's situations like this, so much stress and anxiety, uncertainty in the communities, we see the numbers go up. So it's even more critical that you have folks like social workers and mental health workers who are there to help keep that social safety net going.
And we are talking with another one of our guests and that does prayer for schools each week, and they're continuing that ministry going. But they made the point that for a lot of kids, with the schools being closed down, for a lot of kids, school is their safe place, you know, and home is a real unstable place for them.
Yeah, that's true. You know, many kids get 2 meals a day at school. You know, they get a chance to have positive interaction with adults and their friends, particularly if there's any, you know, violence in the home. That's a sort of an escape for them, and it's an opportunity for people in the community to see them. You know, if they have any bruises, it's a way of helping keep those kids connected to adults.
And, of course, with the elderly as well, a need for many of them, not just safe even to go to the grocery store, even just to do a brief shopping trip, the care that they need. And social workers at each point of these can step in and kind of help connect people. Tell us about the things that social workers can do, even in a time like this.
Oh, there's a wide variety of things that social workers are doing now. For instance, I know some social workers who've written children's books to help answer COVID-19 questions. Just sort of, maybe basic questions like, can I catch it? You know, what is it? So just to help take some of the fear and anxiety away from children. You know, working with adolescents, help them understand the seriousness of it and the need for the precautions. Then mobilizing the community level around support for schools, you know, helping make sure that kids have the connectivity they need to be able to keep their work going, you know, have access to open spaces for recreation. Then connecting with the community if the community wants. For instance, many communities are taking volunteers to go shopping and do various activities for seniors, and oftentimes it's the social worker that helps organize that. And then we have social workers at the federal level, you know, helping with the legislation, helping, you know, the Stimulus Relief Act that's going to hopefully get signed by the House today. You know, we were actively involved in advocating for making sure that there's provisions in that for the most vulnerable in our communities.
So if you have someone, and let's say particularly you have an elderly parent, and maybe you're not in town, right? They live out of town or you live away from them, so you're not able to deliver groceries and do things like that for them. Or you have another person that you're concerned about that maybe you can't physically deal with. How can we get people in touch with some of these social services so you can make sure mom and dad are getting the meal that they need, or this other person who you might be thinking at risk for various reasons can be checked up on?
If I were concerned about a loved one, I would really call the local mayor's office or the town hall and make sure that they were on the list of folks who the community was helping to support, because there, I think in most communities there are, you know, volunteers or folks who've been organized to say we'll go out and we'll do the shopping and whatever. And you certainly, it's a time when you would want to be calling your parents, your grandparents more frequently than you normally do. If they've got the capacity to do FaceTime and things like that, it's an important time to do it. And then if they live in the area, you know, even though you don't want to expose them to yourself, you can go, like for instance, my mother-in-law, my two brother-in-laws, they were there yesterday. She came out onto the driveway. They sat, 10 feet apart from her. They had discussion, had lunch, but they never got within 6 feet of her. And for some other families, you might go on the porch of your grandparent or your parent. You can see them. Maybe you're on the phone talking, but you're still trying to. So there's ways you can be creative, things you can do to keep that physical distance.
And I would imagine with now telehealth, a lot of, I know even doctor's offices for routine visits, they're just doing that over the phone, telehealth things. Are people who may normally have a contact for various reasons, they're still maintaining that through telehealth and things like that?
Yes, they are. And it's, telehealth has been around for 20 plus years and has been used in particular to help support having access to health care and mental health services in rural areas. But it's a proven technology and it's a good way to stay connected, particularly if you have a mental health condition or if you were in therapy, you can keep that progress going. And on the physical health side, you can use telehealth. That way you don't have to unnecessarily go into a clinic or go into an emergency room, but you can get instructions over the phone. And the healthcare professionals, they can see you, and so they can see some of your symptoms just by seeing you on the video.
And we know the stresses that are being placed on our medical doctors and nurses and those on the front lines of dealing with this. Are we seeing similar kind of stresses on those in the social work area with perhaps increased issues that they're dealing with?
Yeah, we do. It's interesting that, you know, we celebrate, and we definitely should be celebrating our first responders. They're, you know, putting their, you know, lives on the line, you know, and we're going to lose some of the healthcare professionals. But what folks don't realize is when those first responders do a handoff, typically to a social worker, you know, we've got a lot of concerns about having enough hospital beds. Well, when people get healthy enough to leave the hospital, it's a social worker who's doing the discharge planning and making sure that person gets into a safe place in the community where they can continue their healing. And then it's oftentimes a social worker who's working with the family, explaining to the family, here's what's going on, here's the treatment regimen, here's the follow-up. And it's a stress on social workers now because our child welfare system, our domestic violence system, like I said, doesn't take a holiday. So we've got social workers going out to do child abuse investigations. You know, some have personal protective equipment, some don't. Some have sort of clear guidelines on how they're supposed to handle these situations. In other places, people are trying to make the policy as they go along. They're willing going out there and handling these issues. So it's a stressful time, but, you know, these social workers, they're eager and ready to go and know how important they are to the communities.
I think that's a great point because if you're, especially dealing with a case like domestic abuse or child in danger, you can't wait till all this dies down to go check that out, you know.
No, and I'd like your listeners to know if anyone who's in an abusive relationship, that the hotlines are open, and actually in many places they've staffed up the hotlines because we know, just for instance, in China, Wuhan, where the virus started, in the Hohe province, they experienced a 3-time increase in the number of domestic violence incidents.
Mm.
And so we know, and if you can imagine, you've got an abuser who's into power and control, and now that the family's stuck in the home, that gives them more opportunities to manipulate and control. And then they don't have to worry about, well, if the person goes to work or school, someone might see bruises or this person might tell the person something's going on. They feel more empowered to exercise their abuse and power and control.
And Dr. McLean, is there a website that people can check out that maybe kind of clearinghouse to give some of these numbers and kind of a one-stop place where they can get a lot of that information?
Yeah, I'll give you two websites. One is socialworkers.org, socialworkers.org, and we have a web page that's dedicated to the general public around the coronavirus, and you can get a lot of information about that. And then there's a site called Help Starts Here, Help Starts Here, and that's a website that's designed for the general public who might be looking for mental health or social services, and there's information there that can help a person get started if they're looking for help.
And that Help Starts Here, is that .com or .org?
Oh, you can just Google Help Starts Here.
Okay.
It's actually .org, and you'll go right to our webpage.
Dr. McLean, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We really do appreciate you keeping us informed and updated on what our social workers are doing to help out during this time.
Thank you, Tommy, and appreciate the opportunity to talk with your listeners, and thank you for using your platform to help get the word out. It'll help make your community, you know, better if people have additional information.
Absolutely.